Welcome to the Financial Flossing Podcast with Ross Brannan, guiding dental professionals to a brighter future. Ross Brannan is a financial advisor who knows it's not just about your teeth. He helps dental practice owners protect and maximize today's cash flow to plan for tomorrow's cash needs. Find him at rossbrannan.com. On the show, he brings together experts to help dental professionals looking to make smart money decisions to grow their income, turn their retirement goals into reality, and improve their lives. And now, here's your host, Ross Brannan.
Hi there. Are you a high income earner? Do you feel like you're paying more than your fair share? Do you feel like the tax man is taking too big a bite out of your check, out of your finances? Well, I'm here to help. I help high income people legally reduce their taxes, and I can help you. So if you feel like you're paying too much in taxes and you're a high income individual, schedule an introductory conversation with me and let's see what maybe we can do to help. Also, if you've had a large capital gain event, maybe it's a business, maybe it's a piece of real estate, maybe it's stocks or bonds, investments, we can help there too. So reach out, schedule a discovery call, and let's see if we can solve your problem. Welcome to the show. Today, we have Dr. Kevin Kramer. Kevin owns Kramer Dental Care in Chico, California, which is Northern California, about an hour or two north of Sacramento, for those of you who don't know, small town. But he's also the head of the Kramer Leadership Institute. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ross. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Yes. So you have a really cool story, so I want to jump right in. So you're in Chico, small town, like 90,000 people, hour or so north of Sacramento, right?
Yeah.
Not the California most people think of when they think of California. They think San Francisco, San Diego, LA. This isn't that part of California, but it's beautiful where you live. But you have acquired 7 practices and you have insane production. So talk about that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they kind of fell in my lap. It's kind of funny, you know, so we started building our practice based upon given great customer service and great quality. And, you know, I always tell young docs, the biggest thing you can do is invest in yourself to start, right? I mean, you're a big guy on investments and it's like the ROI on spending money on education and training and knowledge so that we can be the best at what we do at our craft is so important. So started doing that. And then I had local reps say, hey, this guy's really interested in what you're doing. And it just kind of navigated to docs saying, hey, could you take over running the practice? And I'll just stay on as a dentist because so many dentists, what they love is the dentistry and actually running the business and dealing with the staffing issues and all that can be a major headache. So over time, last 10 years, we've done quite a bit of mergers or acquisitions and brought other docs in. And so we've built our company and my level of production has been great as I've continued to develop my skills and niche into what I do. And all of our docs are really thriving in that.
So how many associates do you have?
We have 6 docs in the company right now.
How many locations do you have?
We've merged them into actually 2 bigger locations and we're building an implant center right now. We're going to pull out all the implant procedures into that.
How many ops do you have in those 2 locations?
Total of 25.
Okay. And then you work how many days a month?
5.
And I want to reiterate, I said days a month, not days a week. So talk about your production per hour or day, as well as your associates' production per hour or day.
Well,
now, and you're going to have to repeat it because when they hear it, they're going to like not believe it and they're going to have to deal with their head trash. So this is going to be like a remote therapy session for people listening.
Well, for 2023, my daily was over 40,000. I did over 5,000 an hour in production.
Some people don't do that in a week.
So, yeah, I think, and again,
so, but now you trained your associates too. So how productive are your associates?
But the key, Ross, I think to understand that I want to iterate is that it's not about the dollars or the money. It's about the more value we can provide, the more we can take care of a customer, the more we're going to receive as recompense. So that comes first is great service and great quality.
Well, it's all about value creation.
Yeah. So if I learned how to do full mouth implant reconstructions, full mouth reconstructions, smile makeovers, and I can communicate that in a way that the customer sees the value in it, then they're willing to exchange their dollars for what they're going to get in return. So, so we're able to do some nice, you know, what we would consider fairly expensive, you know, $40,000-$50,000+ cases because people are seeing the value. So our associate doctors have done really well as well. So they'll scale up and be doing $8,000-$12,000 a day within a couple few years. So,
yeah. And so somebody's going to say, well, the only reason you're doing that is you're doing all implants or you're doing all the smile makeovers. I don't do that, or I don't have those cases, or I refer those cases out. Address that, dare I say, excuse.
You know, you look at dental practices out on the market and your typical office is doing, you know, $700-$900 million a year still, which is the same thing. $700-$900,000 Yes, that's a big difference in a year. The same thing we saw 25, 30 years ago. So that's kind of that traditional insurance-based mindset of, oh yeah, bread and butter dentistry, crown and bridge type of thing, refer everything out. Well, if you can decide as a doc or a practitioner what you really want to do and what you thrive and really be committed to being knowledgeable on that and educating yourself, that builds the confidence and it builds your communication skills. And all of a sudden you start talking in a way that people are seeing the value. And so we know that, you know, most dentists tend to diagnose to their knowledge base, right? So the more knowledge you have, the more, again, value you can provide and then recompense you'll receive for that.
So let me repeat what you said and tell me if I'm wrong. If all I know is fillings, everything is a filling. If all I know is cavities, everything is a filling. So yeah. If all I have is a hammer, everything is a nail.
Yeah. And so you know, that some people work 30 years and they don't have 30 years of experience, right? You know, the old saying, they have 1 year of experience 30 times over. And, you know, I just did a recent working interview with a doctor who's been a dentist, successful practice owner and a dentist for 25 years. And I was kind of surprised at where that person was clinically. And I see that in a lot of doctors, and that's fine. I mean, Ross, I think there's a lot to life and a lot to the opportunities we have. Maybe we want to be, we want to fish or we want to go snow skiing, and that's what we want to spend our time doing and not really invested in learning how to do more and more dentistry. And you know, we want to be a great father, a great husband. And sometimes it's tough to balance all of that, but it does go back to being dedicated to getting good training and education and getting more confident in your clinical skills.
So could I reframe what you said? And I'm a non-dentist, so someone might get mad at me, but basically becoming a master of your craft and don't be satisfied where you're at, because I'm someone who always wants to grow. And I believe you should never stop learning. And you're saying that's the way you've achieved the production you have, is because you have dedicated yourself to become a master of your craft, not at the expense of your family, because you have two children working in your practice now. You have four kids. So, but if we, quote unquote, get fat and happy, we start going backwards and we're missing opportunities. But as you learn your craft, master your craft, it opens up opportunities. And for you, that was implants as well as other stuff, but that's helped you to increase your production, your income. And you have associates who, quite frankly, you have associates who make significantly more than many practice owner docs. And so it's a very challenging thing to think about if you're not there.
Well, and I had one doc, you know, I acquired his practice and he came in and merged in with us. And the year before, he made under $70,000 as a doctor running his own practice and dealing with all this headaches and whatnot. So I see these doctors that are making less than their hygienists. And not that there's anything wrong with hygienists making a great income. We have six-figure hygienists in our company. It's just the year he joined our company with our proper systems and processes, he made over $200,000 a year. He tripled his income just by selling his practice to us and letting us run it. And he could just focus on the dentistry. So he had a higher quality of life and made three times the income. And so it's kind of cool. And you know, I think what we're talking about too, you talk about growth mindset. I'm going to put a plug for my book that's coming out. It's called Quantum Accountability. And I talk about the foundation of success in life is our mindset. And there's so
mindset
much.
Mindset is so key. So key.
Yeah, so there's so much in having a growth mindset, and people have a victim or a scarcity mindset where they have these self-limiting beliefs. So they'll hear somebody like me that maybe has all these high numbers, like, oh, well, you're greedy, or you're ripping off your patients. Or they say these things to themselves to make themselves feel better and be okay with where they are,
That's
as
a,
opposed
and
to
that,
having an open.
well, that's a poverty mindset. And
Yeah.
if you're having those thoughts, you have a poverty mindset. And you're talking about the growth mindset, and you've probably read the book Mindset by Carol Dweck, and that's one of the top two
Exactly.
books that I recommend to everybody is the book Mindset by Carol Dweck. It's
I
phenomenal.
reference Carol in my book when I talk about the different mindsets. And again, that's just foundational. So the purpose of this book is to empower young doctors and team members to know that, hey, you're accountable for your success in life, and it's up to you to decide, where do I want to be? Like what we talked about earlier, it's not about money. It's about being fulfilled. It's about abundance in all areas. It's about being a good husband, being a good father, and enjoying life. And what does that look like to each person, you know?
Well, yeah, and quite frankly, you know, I give a lot of money away, and the more money I make, the more money I can give away. So, but yeah, well, that's fantastic. But you're not just a dentist; you also have the Kramer Leadership Institute. Talk about that. What is that?
Yeah. So as we built out our processes and we're empowering doctors and teams, then it became, well, how can we help others? So our Kramer Leadership Institute runs and manages our bricks and mortar offices, and it also gives thought leadership and guidance to doctors and helping them be the best version of themselves, you know, helping them discover their why, their sense of purpose, and really making sure that they're feeling fulfilled in life, and not just their career. I mean, I can teach a dentist how to be a rock star dentist if they have the right mindset and they want to grow and learn, yet also looking at the whole picture and the whole equation, because we know we can make a ton of money in this life, but we can't take it with us. And so, like you learn the principles of tithing, and it's all about just giving it back. So, I hang out with some people who are very, very successful, much more successful than me. And their biggest challenge is the philanthropy side. And oh, well, how am I going to give it all away in my lifetime and all that kind of stuff? I mean,
Well, you know,
other
so here's,
problems to have.
sorry to interrupt you, but here's what's funny. So when that whole giving pledge came out, you know, a decade or so, a decade and a half ago, when it was like, you know, the Buffetts and the Gates of the world, like, I'm going to give all my money away, and they're all worth 50, 60, $80 billion at a time. Now it's more. And I was like, you know, they're stealing from from the next generation. And I felt like, I was like, you know, that's, I felt like that was wrong to give all your money away and not leave an inheritance for your family. Now, as I've gotten older, I'm 46 now, I've realized that, you know, if you're worth $80 billion, you know, you could give a lot of that away and still give plenty to your family. And you have to be make sure your kids are trained in the way to manage the money. But I would argue that my mindset about that was a scarcity or mindset, even though I wasn't quote unquote poor, but I would argue that was a poor person's mindset about that. And it's just, you have to continually work on your mindset. And so what you said earlier is like, you know, you have to continue surround yourself with people who, because I like to surround myself with people who stretch my thinking. But I've found there are times in my life where okay, this person has stretched my thinking as far as it's going to get stretched. Now I have to find somebody else. And there's like seasons of life. And what I have found, because I like to always grow, like I never want to go backwards, whether it's income or whatever, I want to always grow, but you can't do that hanging around the same people and just thinking the same way. And you said earlier, I think it was before we were on, about the five people you're around the most is who you're influenced by. And so if you hang out with a bunch of jacklegs, that isn't going to work. You got to think about hanging around the right people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think that the best advice I got when I was a young dentist was who you choose as mentors. And you know, that's what I say to young dentists and young people coming out as well. Who you align with, who you choose to learn from or partner with, is going to have a 10 to 30x difference on the trajectory of your career. And that's a huge impact. So it's your mentors or coaches in life. And then it's also your colleagues or your peers. So that the five people you surround yourself with, you know, what's your peer group? And one thing I like to talk about is it's more and more important today with the speed of information. So, I mean, we've got social media, we've got streaming. You probably remember a time, Ross, where if there was a show you wanted to watch, like it was Thursday night at 8 p.m. on CBS, and you had to wait. And that was your option. Now it's like you pull it up and you can stream 10 episodes in a row and just binge watch a Saturday away. And, you know, we all need times like that, but it's really important to have a sense of discipline in your life now, because there's so much that's thrown at us. And with AI coming on, it's getting into hyperspeed. And so I think it's really important to have those groups that help us with, okay, what are we focusing on, and what's the trajectory of our life? You know, what direction do we want to take it? Because all of these things out there are competing for our time and our energy, and how we choose to spend our time has a great impact on the trajectory of our life.
So if someone's liking what you're saying, I mean, how do they get involved with the Kramer Leadership Institute? Are you guys doing events nationally, locally? What's going on there?
Yeah, they can come and follow us on, they can get Kramer Leadership Institute. They can Google it. My personal site is kevinkramer.com. They can go in and get a request, a pre-release contact for the book that's coming out, and or they can just reach out to me. My email, kevin@kramerleadership.com. I'm very available. And you know, like we were talking about earlier, Ross, we get to a point in our career where it's like, okay, I don't know everything, but I've learned some tricks of the trade, some tools as I've gone along. And I'm at a stage of my career where I want to share, I want to give back, I want to contribute. And so this is my way of saying, hey, how can I help? How can I give back? And
what was the catalyst that kind of shifted for you? Because I'm assuming you probably weren't always a super high performer. Maybe you were, but what changed to kind of take you down that road?
So when I was a freshman in college, my wife and I were in the same dorm, and I asked if I could be in a study group with history. And she looked at me and she goes, "Oh, are you in that class? I didn't know you were in that class." I'm like, "Well, I kind of hadn't been really going." And basically, she said I was kind of a knucklehead. And the next year, we actually started dating, and then we ended up getting married, and now married 30 years. But so I guess something shifted there. there's always been this desire to be the best version of me, you know, and it's hard to put a pulse on exactly when. I remember there were some struggles as a kid, and that helped me. They kind of hit me to the core and weren't really pleasing, to where it's like, hey, I got to step up and I got to be responsible for me. And so as you grow in life and you thrive, and I think, you know, there was a transition from growth and just abundance and success to how can we contribute and how can we collaborate? Because I've never been one, and I think this is a really important point, is like when you look at colleagues in the same industry or other dentists down the street, we're not in competition together. We're in collaboration, in that we're actually all competing for a person's decision to invest in their health or buy a new TV or buy a new truck. And the more we can get people to see the value of good health and how, you know, you change a person's smile. I know I'm going to sound like a cheesy dentist right now, but you touch someone to the core. Like you change their confidence, you change their outlook on life. And it has a huge impact. Not only that, if people can chew and function, their diet and longevity is way better too. So
absolutely.
I don't know if that really answers the question or not.
Well, it does. It's, you know, and it's just, you know, I'm intrigued by you because we were talking earlier that, you know, about like DSOs offline, we're talking about that. And, you know, if you build a business and you have the opportunity to sell it for X million dollars, good for you. And if you decide to do that, congratulations. But I personally am not one who is interested in retirement. I don't like the word. I know Kevin feels the same way because we both come from the strategic coach background. We feel like it's a cuss word. And I personally saw my dad, I saw what happened to him when he retired early, which wasn't great. But I would, if I ever stopped doing what I'm doing now, I would use the word transition, not retire. But I don't know how many people who are young and sell a business, not a dentist, because there's plenty of vets, there's plenty of optometry people. It's all happening everywhere, all different, industries. But, what's the next phase? And I don't know how many people have actually thought that all the way through, because I don't care how much you sell your business for, unless you're selling it for nine figures. It's not near as much money as you think it is to last the rest of your life. But I like the idea that you haven't slowed down, even though you've been tremendously financially successful and you have a growth mindset and you continue to want to grow. And you're like, hey, there's more, there's no competition. There's more than enough business to go around for everybody. Let's help as many people as we can. And you say you end up seeing a struggling practice. You then acquire that practice. Now the doc is making three times as much money with you as he was on his own. And now more patients are being served. So I think it's a really fascinating perspective that, unfortunately, I don't think you see a lot of that in the world today.
Well, and for me, like, it's not about acquiring all these practices and growing this. I like to have partners. I like to help and collaborate with people. So
you're not trying to build your own kingdom.
Yes. Yeah. So and some docs are like, hey, I just want you to own the whole thing and I want you to do I want to do dentistry. The other one's like, hey, I want to partner with you. But you mentioned a lot of things there. So, I mean, I could unpack that a bit, but the deal about a DSO, like, it makes me think of like Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum, that quote, you will own nothing and be happy, you know? And so what we're doing in dentistry, and this is happening all over in different industries, plumbers, electricians, is these big, like the biggest DSO sale or private equity investment last year. And I think I've been to a lot of DSO talks and conferences because I'm in certain masterminds where that's a big conversation. And I think the number one acquisition, I think dentistry was the number one space for private equity in 2023. And I could be wrong, but this is what I was told. And then I think the number one investment, the biggest deal ever was BlackRock Financial. You know, BlackRock Financial essentially owns a big part of the world now. So the whole concept of a DSO is we as dentists, we're these little we're these doctors. We're taking care of patients. Well, big smart Wall Street money comes in and says, oh, well, I'm going to run this better than you, more efficiently than you, and we're going to put more profit to the bottom line. Well, first of all, there's nothing wrong with being profitable, and we have to have that if we're going to stay in business. I mean, that's just a basic tenet. But if we give away or sell off our whole industry to private equity and DSOs, what's that going to do to patient care? Look at what happened to doctors and physicians over the last, what started happening in the 80s, and look at now that the medical industry is run by hospitals, by big pharma and insurance companies. Now, we still have pretty good quality of care, but I would argue that it would be much better if the doctors were involved in those decisions more rather than, well, what's my insurance company and what drugs do I prescribe? So if we're looking at what's best for the patient and what's best long-term, I think dentists being owners and in that involvement is the best thing long-term. So I think that's kind of my belief system on that. When you talk about retirement, we talked about Dan Sullivan earlier, and he's got this great thing about, oh, we're going to live to be 150. And if we have that mindset, it's like, I had a stage in my career. I was 33 year old, and my wife and I were frugal, and we spend less than we make. And at age 33, I retired. Well, hey, at this stage I'm going, at age 33, I realized I could retire. And it's like, whoa, wait a second, what am I going to do with my life? So then it was like, how can I create a better version of the practice we're doing? How could I bring in more doctors and help and empower them? And so it's that evolution of, hindsight's 2020, and when we meet with some very high achievers who, like, they grew a group practices to say 10, 15 locations, whatever EBITDA, and then they sold it out, and then they had to stay on for 3 to 5 years, and then the 5 years goes by, and they're coming back into the mastermind going, okay, what am I going to do now? Okay, I think I'm going to do it all over again, or I think I'm going to do this or do that, because it might sound fun at the time, but then you look back and go, well, shoot, I can't, you can only play so many rounds of golf or sit on the beach for so long until you get stir crazy, right? So finding that balance and knowing that there's so much, and I see this on the younger age a lot, is the grass is greener over there, and there's so much of that. And like you said earlier with some of your friends, I had another guy I was talking to last week, and he has 10 colleagues that sold to DSOs. 9 of them are miserable after the like 6 to 18 months, where the honeymoon phase is over, and they're like, this is not what I wanted.
Here's what you don't realize, Mr. and Mrs. Dentist, and I'm not saying you should or should not sell to a DSO. I'm just telling you, really what you're doing is you're getting usually probably about 5 to 7 years of income upfront in a lump sum. You then have this roll up on the back end, which could go really, really well, but you never know. And some of them have gone really, really well, and some of them have not gone well at all. But your income is usually cut down to about 30 to 40% of what it was, depending on how high of an earner. Well, that may not be accurate. It depends on how high of an earner you are. If you were a really high earner, your income is about a third of what it was, and you're now W-2. So from a taxation standpoint, it's less efficient, and you're now an employee. So you don't get to take the day off if you want to. Now, some people, they're okay with that, and that's fine. But some people aren't. And so it typically is a different culture. And there's nothing wrong with selling. Personally, I think the best bet is sell, do your earn out, and then go do it all over again. But I don't know if anyone's going to do that or not. But I just don't – I struggle when I hear people talk about retirement. Like my college roommate's a good friend of mine. He was texting me the other day about he's so excited to retire at 55 years old. And I said, that sounds miserable. And he's like, you must hate your life. I'm like, no, I love my life and I love what I do. But retirement sounds absolutely miserable to me. But it's been indoctrinated in our culture so much by the financial services industry. And so I don't know what retirement looks like for you, Mr. Listener, Mr. and Mrs. Listener, but I know what it looks like for me. And it means not doing it. And you may not want to be a dentist forever, and that's okay. But you just have to have a second act. And I don't think many people think about that. I am thrilled if you sell your practice to a DSO. Cash, take the chips off the table, cash it in, come call me about a tax strategy to avoid the taxes on that, and we'll do that. But make sure you have a second act, whatever that is. And I just don't think many people have a second act.
I love the word retire, like we're tired, you know, and we're going to go be tired again, you know, so it's funny as opposed to why don't we think about renewing or recharging or rejoicing in that, okay, maybe we're getting to a point where we're not as passionate about what we were once doing. Well, I've seen so many docs that they go on and learn a new skill. They go, oh, I'm going to go into or learning about occlusion or sleep dentistry or smile makeovers. And they're in their 70s and they're like, this is the happiest I've been in my career because they've recharged, they've revitalized. So it's not necessarily the dentistry that's bad. And so I'm actually speaking at a conference in Hawaii next week about that, on how we provide so much impact in what we do. And sometimes we just forget that and lose sight of it. So it's about finding that sweet spot.
Warren Buffett's 93 years old. Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that he goes to work every day? By the way, this statistic is going to be slightly off, but not by much. 95% of his wealth was created after age 65.
Oh, it's funny. I was just going to say that, like, his net worth at age 65 was X to where it is today. And it's, hey, compounding, right?
Right. But if you don't give yourself time to compound. There was this movement still around, the FIRE, financial independence, retire early. These people were like living super frugal and retiring at like 32 years old. basically shopping at the Dollar Tree all the time, or and literally pinching every single penny they could so they could be independent and retire. And I'm like, that's freaking miserable.
Yeah, and I don't want to swing, I don't want to say what's right or wrong for any one person. I think it's
and
really
I do
about.
appreciate you. I do appreciate you covering up my very, very bold hyperbolic statements with your disclaimer. So thank you, Kevin.
Because there's nothing wrong with the purpose of retirement is to really spend the time doing something that you really enjoy. And for some people, it might be, I'm going to be philanthropic, I'm going to give back, or I'm going to play a lot. Well, I think what's more important is finding that sweet spot, because if you love golf, if you play it 7 days a week, you're going to get tired of it. You're going to get like, oh my gosh. And maybe your body even can't keep up with it. So finding that balance, and that's for me, like doing 5 clinical days a month and then coaching people and helping in that way is huge. And so I agree with you, Ross. Retirement is overrated, and we shouldn't be aiming for retirement. We should be continuing to grow in discovering what really fills us up in life. And a lot of it is what we do in our work life and how we contribute and how we help people is part of that fulfillment.
Well, and here's the thing, if you don't like being a dentist, because I've also met a lot of dentists who don't really like being a dentist, or I've met a lot of dentists who don't like the management of people involved with owning a practice, and then you want to sell because you don't want to do that anymore, totally get that. Nothing wrong with that at all. And I'm not saying selling is wrong. I'm just saying, look at the whole picture. And I'm saying, don't sit here and sell and then quote unquote retire. I'm just, it's more of an anti-retirement talk. And quite frankly, I know 3 guys who sold last fall. None of them are retiring. I don't know what they're doing. I know 2 of them are doing. I don't know what the third one's doing, but they're not retiring. I think they just want to take chips off the table, but which is fine. So Kevin, you got a lot of stuff going on. You're a high performing dentist. How can people get involved with what you're doing? How can they get in touch with you?
I'd be happy to sit down and do a complimentary coaching call with anybody if they want to reach out to me at my email, kevin@kramerleadership.com.
And that's Kramer, K-R-E-M-E-R.
Yes. Thank you for that. K-R-E-M-E-R.
So or they can go to kramerleadership.com.
Yeah. And if they want more information on my book or some of the stuff I do with my speaking and coaching, they can also go to kevinkramer.com and put in a request to get informed when the book's being released, which should be in the next couple months.
Awesome. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for being on today. It's always good to talk to someone who thinks very similar to me, because it makes me think that I am smarter than I am. And that's just good for my ego. So I appreciate that very much.
Oh, thank you, Ross. We're aligned on that, brother. I love it.
My wife will make sure and humble me later this evening. So, all right. You've been listening to the Financial Flossing Podcast with Ross Brennan.
This has been another episode of Financial Flossing with Ross Brennan, guiding dental professionals to a brighter future. If you liked what you heard, consider subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts. For more on Ross Brennan, visit rossbrennan.com.
Ross Brannan is a registered representative of Coastal Equities, Inc., and investment advisory representative of Coastal Investment Advisors, Inc. Investment advisory services are offered through Coastal Investment Advisors, Inc., and securities are offered through Coastal Equities, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC, 1201 North Orange Street, Suite 729, Wilmington, Delaware, 19801.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.